This morning we take a break from our series in Romans to especially remember the birthday of the Reformation. We do that again this evening and tomorrow as well when the actual day falls. We remember events of 499 years ago. We remember Martin Luther nailing his 95 points for debate, for discussion to the church door in Wittenberg. And it might be said, why remember something so old? 499 years ago is a very long time. Isn't something like that a relic from the past? Can what happened such a long time ago still be relevant and up to date for us today? And I say, yes, yes it is, and yes it can be. And it's relevant for us because fundamentally speaking, we are called to do something very similar. Sometimes as you come into church, you notice notices up on the door of the church, somebody stuck them up with sellotape. And that's good and well. Please, no nails, anyone. But no, that's not the point of comparison, that we have notices from time to time on our church door, and they did back a long time ago as well. We're not called to nail debating points to the doors of churches, but we are called to do what that action represented. We are called to do what Christians of everywhere, of every age are called to do. That is, we are called to guard the gospel. We are to guard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul's charge to Timothy, a young pastor in a city called Ephesus, brings this to our attention this morning in 2 Timothy 1, 13 and 14. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So firstly then, in the light of the Reformation, we are to guard the gospel. We're to guard the gospel. Friends, the Apostle Paul is nearing the end of his life. He has been suffering for the gospel. Very soon he will die for the gospel. But he wants the gospel to go on, to live on, even though he himself dies. And he wants the same gospel to live on, not a corrupted gospel. Not a gospel which we water down or which we allow society to water down. So he gives this charge to Timothy: what you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Timothy, you see, has been entrusted with something. He's been entrusted with the good deposit, with the gospel. He was taught the gospel by his grandmother and his mother, and then through the teaching of the apostle himself. And now he is to keep it and guard it. He's to make sure that the gospel isn't just a one generational thing, but lives on into the next generation. And the next generation will keep it and guard it and pass it on. And again, through to us today, as has happened, and until Jesus Christ returns. It's worth stating at the outset that it's obvious we're not all pastors this morning like Timothy was. But guarding the gospel is a responsibility that each of us share. For one reason, we share this responsibility because we have the Great Commission. Each of us, a part of the mission of God to disciple the nations, to disciple Toowoomba, to disciple Glenvale. We cannot disciple the nations in our own strength. It will not be our skills or persuasion that will encourage others to join the kingdom of God. No, it will be the power of the gospel. And friends, a watered-down gospel lacks power. When our oldest children were still quite young, we found... have any other parents found this as well, that our children like fizzy drink? You found that too? Yep. The more the better. So they were delighted when we'd add water to their Coke to make it bigger. They would beg us to do this. Make it bigger, make it bigger. Of course, what we were doing was watering it down. We were making it half strength. Little did they know. Our children might have enjoyed us doing that for a time, and only for a time, because eventually the magic wears off. But we must not do this with the gospel. For if we water down the gospel, it will taste like watered down fizzy drink. It will taste like flat fizzy drink. It will not be able to be used effectively in God's service. The gospel deposit has been entrusted to us for safekeeping. We have a responsibility then to keep it full strength. So what is full strength? What is the gospel that we're to keep and to guard? The American author Mark Twain once said that the church is good people standing in front of good people telling them how to be good people. Good people standing in front of good people telling them how to be good people. Friends, that is not the gospel. The gospel is this, you see, not that we are good people, but that we are bad people. We have done wrong towards God. The Bible calls that sin. We have wronged one another. We can't undo our wrong. We can't fix things up. We can't pretend it didn't happen. Indeed, all we do is, as we continue on in life, the older we get, we keep doing wrong towards God and one another. Our debts just keep piling higher and higher. Our regrets keep piling up higher and higher. All the things that we wish we hadn't done, but we did do, keep piling higher and higher. The gospel we are to guard is not good people standing in front of good people telling them how to be good people. The gospel we are to guard is this: that God sent his son Jesus into the world for the wrong, all the wrong that we have done, so we could be forgiven. And our sins are forgiven not because of any good things that we have done, but through faith in Jesus, and faith in Jesus alone. Every age of the church, it seems to me, has faced the temptation to add to the work of Jesus. You are forgiven by faith and something else. Good things that you might do. Speaking in tongues. Having the right doctrine. But when you add something to the gospel, when you add something to Jesus alone, instead of guarding the gospel, you're adding water to the gospel and diluting it. So we must guard against the same corruption of the gospel occurring in our generation as well. Perhaps one of the greatest dangers the gospel faces in our day and age is being made too broad. That what is at the heart of the gospel, what is at the crucial heart of the gospel, is lost from view or even downplayed, perhaps even unintentionally. For example, it's true that the gospel has tremendous, enormous implications for our lives as God's people in the world. There are gospel implications for how we care for the hungry and for the hurting. There are gospel implications for how we treat creation, the world around us. Those things are true and they're good, they are noble things. But if we emphasize those things to such an extent that people could mistakenly come to believe that the church is a world improvement project, just making the lives of people while they live here better, then we have obscured the gospel, even if we have done so with the very best of intentions. Yes, the gospel has implications for all those things. Yes, they are important. Don't hear me saying otherwise this morning. But the heart of the gospel, the heart and soul of the gospel is this: through faith in Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Bad people are made good. Brothers and sisters, the heart and soul of the gospel had been widely lost at the time of the Reformation. Let's make sure that the heart and soul of the gospel isn't lost today, but rediscovered, that it might change us. We're to guard the gospel. But there's a second important implication of Paul's words to Timothy, and that is that we're to guard the gospel in a gospel way. We're to guard the gospel in a gospel way. See, Paul doesn't only remind us of our responsibility to hold on to and guard and protect and preserve the gospel. He also tells us how we're to do that. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. That's interesting. You see, the implication Paul is making is that it's not enough just to guard the gospel. No, we must guard the gospel in a gospel way, in a gospel manner, that is, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. What Paul is saying to us this morning is that our own character is very important. Crucially important. How we relate to other people is crucially important. Sound teaching, orthodoxy, having memorized the Heidelberg Catechism from beginning to end along with everything else. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to know the gospel well. It's a good thing to study the gospel carefully. It's a good thing to be accurate, to be as accurate as we can in our understanding, not only of the gospel, but of God himself. Yes, amen and verily. But if you have sound teaching without faith and love in Christ Jesus, then what you have is almost worthless. Maybe it even is worthless. Yes, thinking of the gospel too broadly is a danger to the gospel, to the clarity of the gospel. But I think a much, much worse an actual danger to the clarity of the gospel is when God's people think the right things but lack love. When people think that that God will save them because they have dotted every theological I and crossed every theological T. It's good to dot I's. You don't put a dot on an I, you might think it was an L. It's good to put a cross on a T, otherwise it's an L instead as well. It's good to do those things. But dotted I's and crossed T's without faith are worthless. Dotted I's and crossed T's without love, Paul would say to us in 1 Corinthians 13, they're clanging gongs and cymbals. The way you speak and act lacks faith and love, then you are corrupting the gospel. You might think that you're being very diligent to protect the gospel, but really what you're doing is undermining it. You're destroying it. You might think of yourself as being very zealous for the gospel. But if the grace of the gospel isn't the same grace that you show to others, then you're undermining the very thing you're speaking of. We must guard the gospel with faith and love. And that means that we must know the Christ Jesus of whom the gospel speaks. Do you know him? Do you trust him? Do you love him? If you can't yet answer yes to those questions, I'd love to sit down with you and help you, because it is a wonderful thing to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we as a church community want you to know him as well. We could suggest as well that the importance of gospel character, as Paul outlines it here, the Christian life should shape the way we disciple one another within the church as well. We are good at teaching the gospel and being clear about it. We've got lots of experience doing that. We have our Sunday school and our discipleship classes, our men's study, our prime timers, our cadets and gems, and whatever other things that I've missed. And these things are good. But we need to give equal attention not only to how we teach doctrine, but also how we teach character, how to live, as well as what to believe. There's also a second gospel way to guard the gospel. Paul says, guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. What implications does that have for us? What does that mean? One thing it very definitely reminds us of is that ultimately God himself is guarding the gospel. We're not on our own in this mission that God has given us. God's Spirit is at work in the world and within us to help guard the gospel. God guarded the gospel through Old Testament times. He guarded the gospel through the early church. He guarded the gospel through the Reformation. And God will also work in us and through us as his people to guard the gospel today as well. And friends, that should encourage us this morning. And not only should it encourage us, but it should encourage us to take some risks with the gospel. For while you might guard some precious valuables in this way, you do not guard the gospel by locking it up in a combination safe, or by letting it out for a walk, but only on a very tight leash, so it won't run away and bite someone. Friends, we can take risks with the gospel. We ought to take risks, like a book that we can loan the gospel to someone else, like we might loan a book and not have to worry about it whether it's going to get returned or not. The gospel isn't like a secret recipe of herbs and spices, which we have to keep tightly guarded lest anybody find it out. I've got the KFC recipe, by the way, if you want to ask me afterwards. The gospel isn't like a prisoner that we need to lock up and never let out and throw the key away. The gospel's to be out there with us in our everyday lives, in our words and in our actions, not hidden, not wrapped up, not confined to worship on a Sunday. So brothers and sisters, go in the power of the risen Christ Jesus. Go with the help of the Holy Spirit. And guard the gospel by proclaiming the gospel in a gospel way throughout your life, throughout our community, throughout our world. Amen. Let's pray.